Welcome to the LYC Podcast. We are a youth community that believes in loving people and meeting them where they are. Our desire is that through this message, God's love for you is confirmed, your hope in Jesus is renewed, and your faith is awakened.
We started this series because we're about to go to summer camp, and even more than just summer camp, God is always wanting to do something new and something fresh in our life. I don't know if it's your first time or if you've been here for a long time, but we believe that we serve a God who actually is a really good God, who is a gracious God, a God who is very interested in our life, a God who he has good things in store for us, a God who he speaks, he wants to talk to us. And God, he always, someone say always. He always has good stuff he wants to give us. And as we get ready to go to summer camp, you know, maybe you're not going, like we're getting ready to like go receive something. And whether you're going to camp or you're not going, there's always an opportunity. Even tonight, you could be sitting here. There's an opportunity tonight to receive something. But here's what I've learned, that so often we allow opportunity to pass us by because we just don't know how to receive. Or maybe I'll say it this way, we're not ready to receive. We're not ready to receive. And so I'm going to do this two-part series simply titled Ready to Receive. And I want to talk for 2 weeks about how we ready our hearts and our lives to really receive from God. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read you verses 4 and 5, and then we're going to jump in and we're going to get going from there. I'll read it from the screen just so we can all read it together, or you can follow along rather. But 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 4, it says this. It says, by which we have been given, question, could we back it up and could we go to verse 2? I'm sorry, Nathan, could we go to verse 2? I said verse 4, that's my bad, verse 2 through 4. Peter's writing, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Pause real quick. This word grace, it means the unearned, undeserved, unmerited, you did nothing to deserve it, love and blessing and favor of God. It's all the good things that God has in store for you and God wants to give them to you. And he doesn't want to give them to you because you did anything to deserve them. He wants to give them to you simply because he loves you. And if you've given your life to him, he calls you a son or a daughter. And the Bible says grace and peace. Peace not being circumstantial, but peace being this overwhelming sense of contentment on the inside. This overwhelming sense of rest on the inside. He says, grace and peace be multiplied. But just a quick question. What is better or more powerful? Addition or multiplication? It's multiplication. One plus two, that's three. I was going to say one times two, but that doesn't make sense, does it? That's two. I'm not great at math, guys, but multiplication is better. But it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace, God wants to multiply, exponentially increase grace and peace in your life through or in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, as his divine power, listen to this, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Did you know tonight that though you may feel like you have a need, that really tonight you have no need? Or I'll say it this way, you have no need that God hasn't already met in what Jesus has done. That all things pertaining to life and godliness have been given to us through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 4, we'll end right here. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. So he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of him. That all things that we need for life and godliness have been given to us. And he finishes by saying, by which he's given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Did you know that tonight that God has given to you, they belong to you, exceedingly great promises. Promises to heal, promises to help, promises to give you wisdom, promises to be with you, promises. There are so many promises that God has given to us, exceedingly great and precious promises. God, he has something he wants to give you. Can I get an amen? And I want to preach really, really quickly in like the 15 minutes. I promised Kimberly we'd be done at 7:30 because then we're about to get into some worship. But I'm going to give you just three thoughts tonight on how to ready yourself to receive. Because again, sometimes we have an opportunity and we just miss it. Like, for example, by show of hands, how many of you, you're a pancake person, not a waffle person? And any pancake people? Anybody, you're a waffle person, not a pancake person. Okay. Anybody, you are a homemade waffle person only, like you get homemade waffles. Anybody, any weirdos like me, that you are an Eggo waffle person, toaster waffles, come on. I love Eggo waffles. All right, just yell at me real quick. Where is your favorite, or where can you get the best pancake?
First watch.
What did you say, Isabel? Your kitchen, let's go. So I know I'm kind of weird. I don't like homemade waffles. I don't care for them. I love Eggo waffles. Get that thing out of the freezer, put it in the toaster. I'm an Eggo waffle fan. And I probably wouldn't like First Watch's pancake. Just probably wouldn't like it. Cracker Barrel's pancake, oh, it's just disgusting. You know what I love? I love an IHOP pancake. There's something about, I'm basically awesome. There's something about an IHOP. I love IHOP pancakes. And I'll never forget being there with some people. And I had never heard about the all-you-can-eat pancake thing. I just never heard about it. And so I ordered pancakes, and I'm watching the waitress. She's just bringing this dude pancake. And I'm like, how much did he order? And she goes, oh, no, it's all-you-can-eat. And I'm sitting there going, I missed it. I'm sitting here eating my two, three pancakes. I could have been eating all you. How did I miss it? So often we get in environments, we get in seasons of life, and God has so much more, and we miss it. So again, three thoughts quickly tonight that I want to give you how to ready yourself to receive. One more time, look at your neighbor and just say, get ready. Get ready. All right. Number one, write this down. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. First way that we ready ourselves to receive, it is simply to repent. Anybody, could you give me a definition of what it means to repent? Anybody? Anybody bold enough, brave enough? What's your definition, Matt?
To change your mind.
Do you know the definition of repent doesn't mean to be emotional? The repentance doesn't mean to like be sobbing because I'm such a loser. I like IHOP, what a loser. But repentance, it's a change of your mind. Repentance is you're going this way, thinking this way, and you make a turn. Can I tell you one of the number one things that gets in our way of receiving everything that God has for us? It's sin. Do you know that sin actually, it blocks the flow. It blocks you being able to fully receive from God. I won't ask you how many of you are girls because it's pretty clear who's girls and who's not. My daughters, they're getting older and their hair is getting longer and thicker on their head. And our shower just like stopped recently. And you already know where I'm going with this. And it's like, why I'm standing in 3 feet of water in my, what is happening? And so I went to clean the drain and I promise you, it was like, it felt like a 35-foot like hair anaconda. It was so disgusting. And no water could get through this drain. Like you could have did a whole wig and a weave with this thing. It was out of control. It's like, what is happening? But sin is like that in our life. See, sin is not just like, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. But sin is something that, well, it doesn't block us because God goes, yep, I'm so mad. I'm so frustrated. But sin often blocks us because it blocks our ability to receive. Like, have you ever experienced this before where you're in some sort of a church service or you're in a moment where you feel like God maybe wants to do something, but you're so aware and you're so self-conscious of things in your life that are not right? And it's almost like you take yourself out of the equation. God's not taking you out of the equation, but you go, This isn't for me. This isn't for me. I have too much in my life that's not right. See, sin, it brings something called condemnation, guilt, shame. And it creates a barrier and a blockage between us and God. In fact, I want to read you this verse, James 4:8. I believe it's James 4:8. James 4:8 says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But listen to the second part of this. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James, we'll read this again in a minute for another one of our points, but he says, yes, draw near to God and God will draw near to you, but cleanse your hands. Clean your hands, wash your hands, and purify your heart. Well, why does he say two things? Well, because how many of you know that you can be doing things? Someone say doing things. You can be doing things that are just not right. You can be doing things that you know are not appropriate. You can be doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing, going places, watching things. You can be doing things, but how many of you know you can actually be doing all the right things and have a heart that has all the wrong motives? You can be doing all the right things and people go, wow, I love Bob. He's such a man of God. Because on the outside, you look the part, but on the inside, you know that my heart, my motives, and my thoughts are far from right. And James says, he says, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts so that you no longer live double-minded. So you no longer live going, ah, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out. The Bible says this in 1 John. I love this scripture, 1 John 1:9. If you could memorize any scripture, it might be this one that I'd say memorize. But it says this, if, someone say if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that. The Bible says, hey, if you will confess your sin, if you'll come to God and go, God, this is where I am. This is what I've been doing. This is what I've been thinking. Here's these areas. God, I'm confessing this to you as sin. Do you know what confession of sin is really about? It's not about you like somehow giving lip service to God. Like I don't know what kind of church you grew up in, but you know there's the whole thing where you go and you make confession to a priest. I've never done that before. I have thought as a pastor, what an interesting job. Right? Like what an interesting job to sit there and listen to people's confessions, but this is not what that's about. Confession, really, it's more about you before God aligning your heart to go, God, this is sin. See, because there's things right now in your life, let's just call it what it is, that you know they are sin, but you have yet to admit their sin. Something in you knows this is not right. Something in you knows this is not God's best, but you have yet to bring your heart into alignment with God. And say, God, this is sin. See, there's things that are sin that we call okay. There's things that are sin that we call normal. There's things that, well, you know, that's not a big deal. But sin is sin. The Bible says if we would just come to God and say, God, that's sin. That's wrong. That's not what you've called me to do. Lord, I confess or I bring this to you that every single time, God, he will forgive us and he will cleanse us. He will forgive you and cleanse you from your sin on the inside. I'm telling you, one of the biggest blockages or biggest blockers of receiving from God, it's sin in our life. It's things that we've yet to confess to God, this is not right, it's not okay. And we get in places where we have an opportunity to receive. And something in it, which is, because there's a blockage of sin. Number two, write this down, second thought. It's repent, but number two is return. Have you ever on purpose given someone the cold shoulder? You've done this before? Some of you are looking at me like, no, never. You've never given anyone the cold shoulder? My goodness, you're a better person than me. I was talking to someone recently, and this is not okay, by the way. And have you ever been talking to someone and like you're so taken back, you lean across the table like, are you for real? I did this. We were at a Jersey Mike's and this guy told me this and I went, are you serious? Because I he's like, yeah, me and so-and-so. Oh, you don't know who it is. But he said, me and my sister. He said, we've been fighting for years. He said, and honestly, I don't know how to forgive her. He said, and I've been giving her the cold shoulder. I've just been ignoring her, cutting her off for like a couple years now. We'll be in the same room and she'll say my name. I won't even flinch. We'll be at the dinner table. I won't even look because I'm so hurt by her. You know, there's times that we, without realizing it, we distance ourselves from God. We're in an atmosphere, we're in an environment. There's things that God's wanting to do, but again, because of sin in our life, because of areas where we feel like we're not measuring up, we go, this is not for me. This is for everybody else. God's got great things, but not for me. And something in us just backs away. Have you ever realized just something in your heart just kind of backing away from God? I can think of times where I know God is trying to draw me near, and I'm like, I'm good. But here's what the Bible says, James 4:8. We just read it. I'll read it to you again. The Bible says this: draw near to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This is kind of a picture that I get. When I was in high school, for my sophomore junior year, I got driven to school every single day by one of my good friends. I did not have a license till senior year. Do not judge me if you think that's weird. But I got driven to school every single day. And every single day, he'd pull up. I forget what time it was. But he'd pull up, and he'd wait in front of my house. How weird would it be if I just sat by my front door? Hey, Brandon, you've missed school for 3 weeks. Yeah, no one's picked me up. I'm here. Because I was just waiting for him to get out of his car and walk up to my door, and I'm here. No, we had an agreement. I pull up, you get in, we go. And I think sometimes we forget that God's already made the first move. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God, he's proven his love in at the right time giving to us his son, Jesus, that we didn't first love God. No, God first loved us. God has already made the first move. And sometimes we're kind of just waiting around like, well, you know, if God really wanted to do something amazing in my life, he would. If God really wanted to like move, he would. You know, if God really wanted to, you know, get me and help me to be serious, then, and it's like we're waiting for God. But can I tell you that, you know, we're not waiting for God. God has already made it abundantly clear that he's for us, he's with us, he calls us, and now God leaves responsibility. Someone say responsibility. God leaves responsibility for us to now draw near to him. And the Bible says, James 4:8, if you will draw near to God, God will draw near to you. If you will draw near to God, God will draw near to you. It won't be on the screen, but Jeremiah 29:13, I believe it is. It says, if you will seek God with all of your heart, he will be found by you. If you will seek God with all, he will be found when you seek God with all of your heart. And lastly, point number three tonight is simply this. It is repent, return, and receive. Someone say receive. Receive, receive. The Bible says this in Romans 5:17, I believe it is. Romans 5:17, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. In case you don't get the reference, Paul, he's writing about Adam and Eve. We know that when God created humanity, Adam and Eve, that they were in perfect relationship with God. They were literally put in paradise, in the Garden of Eden. It was bliss. They had a relationship with God. All was well. And then sin entered the world. And when sin entered through their decision, it brought death to every part of creation, every part of it brought death. And the Bible says, in the same way, by one man's offense, thanks a lot, Adam and Eve. This is probably not how it works, but I've thought, I wonder if Adam and Eve were like, man, I don't want people to like get to heaven. They're going to be all mad at us. You know what I mean? Like the one person you see in heaven, you're like, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate that. But it says, but if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Listen to this. But how much more for those who receive? Notice that Paul doesn't say, just for those who believe. Hey, man, those who just believe in God, they're going to like reign in life. By the way, reign in life doesn't mean you're going to become like the president or you're going to get rich and famous. It just means like you're going to be winning at life. He doesn't say, yeah, just anyone who believes. He says, no, to those who receive. Those who receive. Can I ask you a question? Are you good at receiving from God? Or are you good at coming with all the reasons and excuses and rationalizations why God couldn't possibly be wanting to give something good to you? Are you good at with open arms just going, God, I receive your love. God, I receive your kindness and your grace and your mercy. God, I receive your free. I know that I've messed up, but God, you say that I am forgiven. Are you good at going, you know, God, this is not looking good. Things are not well, but I'm receiving today by faith that you promised you would be the one who would provide. You'd be the one who would heal, who would restore. Are you good at receiving? I had a pastor say this, that the real work of a Christian, it's not to earn or deserve. The real work of a believer is just to receive. It's to receive. We're going to end right here with this. And I know that I, at least I feel like I talk about myself a lot, but it's the only illustration that I have. I can think back to a number of years ago. I really don't know when it was, to be honest. Do you have any memories that you don't know when they were, you just remember them? It's like, I don't, bro, that could have been like Tuesday, or it could have been when I was 8. I really don't remember, man. It's in my memory. I don't know how it got there. But I can remember waking up in the middle of the night, and I just felt bad about myself. Has that ever happened to you before? Like you just wake up, and whether it's because you're going through something, whether it's because you've made mistakes, one of the things that I have dealt with a lot in my life is just the feeling of inadequacy. I think that a lot of it comes from just, I know things about the Bible. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I went to Bible college, got a master's degree, all in like Bible stuff. I'm a pastor, so like, I know a lot of stuff. And one of the things that the enemy has used that to do is to bring just this feeling of inadequacy. Wow, I know so much more than I feel like I'm doing. I'm aware of so much more than I feel like I'm actually, and I remember just waking up just feeling so inadequate. I feel like, man, I've wasted time. I've missed opportunities. I've made mistakes. And again, I don't remember when it was like timetable, but I felt so bad about myself. And I was laying there and I just had this like, this little sneaky suspicion that I feel like, I think God wants to talk to me. Have you ever been in bed before and you're wrestling whether or not you should get up? Has it ever happened to you? Anybody, like, you get up in the middle of the night sometimes, you just wake up and you're laying there like, okay, do I just get up? Do I go back to sleep? Anybody, by show of hands, are you the, if you get up in the middle of the night, you're getting up person? Anybody? You're just like, you're getting up? I'm getting up, and sometimes it's to do spiritual things. Sometimes it's like to watch a show on Netflix. I confess, I do that. But I'm just laying there. I think God wants to speak to me. And I felt so guilty. I felt so bad. I just felt just inadequate, and it kind of held me back. Like, I don't, like, should I not? And I remember getting out of my bed, going outside, and taking a walk around my neighborhood. I had a thought while I was walking. I wonder if anybody on their Ring camera is like, who was that guy last night? Walking around at 3 a.m, walking around like this. What was he doing? Did he like break out of somewhere? Like, is he crazy? And I remember just getting up, and everything in me that felt bad, everything in me that was reminding me of mistakes I've made, just repenting and confessing that to God. God, all I know to do is to start right here. Lord, I confess this is sin. God, I don't even know if I'm wrong here, but God, I just feel like this is not, it's yours. I'm giving it to you. And just confessing sin. God, I shouldn't be doing here. God, forgive me. Lord, help me with this. God, I want to be right. I want to be pure. And reminding myself, the Bible says, if I'll confess my sin, that God is faithful and just to forgive me. I remember walking around my neighborhood, like a crazy person, praying very loudly with my hands up, hoping no one was seeing me, and repenting, but then immediately going, God, I return to you. God, I'm returning to you today. God, I'm making a decision to freshly commit my life. I'm drawing near to you. And I can't tell you when, but something in that neighborhood walk shifted in my heart. And all of a sudden, I didn't feel far from God. I felt close to God. All of a sudden, I didn't feel disconnected. I felt very received and loved by God. All of a sudden, I didn't feel like I couldn't receive. I felt like, well, I can abundantly, and I just started receiving. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. I'm telling you, you want to be ready to receive? Repent. Stop calling things that are sin. Not a big deal. Don't do that. God, this is sin. It's not okay. I'm bringing this to you. Allow God to heal you and forgive you. Return to him. Stop being like the guy that's like, yeah, man, whatever. Like, stop. Like, who, like nobody's too, you could be cool, too cool for school. No one's too cool for God. Come on, get out of here. God, I'm returning to you with my whole heart. I'm calling out to you. I'm asking you that you would draw near to me as I draw near to you and begin to, God, I'm receiving from you. Can I just ask you a question? This last one and then we're done. Kimberly, you can come play. It's 7:33. I got 2 minutes and we are done. But can I ask you a question? Why would you wait? Here's one of the things that's always kind of just caught me funny. And I'm going to talk specifically about camp for a second. Camps or conferences or retreats. I'll start with a question. How many of you, by show of hands, you would say you have some sort of an awareness that at camps or places like that, God seems to move in just like a special way? That's most people. Okay. So why would you wait till then to posture yourself to receive? We walk in so much to play it. I'll get right at camp. Why would you walk into camp carrying stuff you don't need to carry? Why would you walk into tomorrow with sin you don't need to carry? Why would you walk into another day, another camp, another opportunity, having not drawn near to God? Why would we go another day just not saying, God, if you really do want to multiply grace and peace to me, if you really do, God, have precious promises, if you've given me all things I need for life and godliness, if in you I can reign, can win, why would I not receive it? Why would I wait? I'm not poking fun, but why would I spend camp at an altar going, God, forgive me, when I could be spending a time like that abundantly receiving all he has for me? Why would I wait till a time like that to unclog the drain, so to speak, when I could do it right now and say, God, I confess. God, you know my heart. You know what's in me. I'm bringing you my sin tonight. I'm bringing you I confess sin is sin. God, forgive me, heal me. I draw near. Why would we wait? We're gonna talk about next week very practical ways that we can just receive. But tonight, just in a posture of heart, why would you wait? If you got unconfessed sin, why wouldn't we confess that? If you feel like you've been just arm's length, why wouldn't you draw near to God tonight? If you feel like you've been just holding your arms crossed, why wouldn't you go, no, God, come on, all that you have, I want to receive it tonight. We saved worship for the end tonight because Kimberly had just a sense that the Lord wanted to just do something special in our time of worship, and that more than just kind of doing some structured songs, we just have space tonight, just space to worship.
We hope you've been inspired by this word. To help awaken your faith on a regular basis, subscribe now so you can be alerted when we have a new message. Thank you so much for listening.